Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track three features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 7, Number 6. This is the third and final segment devoted to whey protein. Last month, we learned how to calculate the percentage of protein by looking at the label specs on any given protein supplement. We also discussed different methods of extraction and why whey protein isolate outranks all proteins in terms of nitrogen retention and positive effects on the immune system. By now, it should be clear what whey protein is, how it's made, and where it comes from. So let's finish with a review of what whey protein actually does when consumed on a regular basis and confirm the best time to take it, how much to take, and if there are any side effects. Whey protein provides a convenient, soluble, extremely palatable, non-contaminated source of high-quality protein and amino acids. It supplies the building blocks for over 1 million different human proteins. It's a complete source of protein yielding a full spectrum of essential, conditionally essential, and non-essential amino acids. So what does this stuff actually do for us? Well, when we consume a liquid pre-digested source of protein, it greatly improves the integration of amino acids into the bloodstream compared to eating solid tissue protein. Limitations of digestion and enzyme deficiency are overcome, making the protein shake the ideal alternative for seniors who cannot digest solid tissue protein. It's also a perfect snack for active teenagers and growing children, many of whom do not eat adequate quantities of clean protein. And by the way, wieners, pizza pops, and KFC chicken are not clean sources of protein. Whey peptides support the body's immune system and improve gastrointestinal health due to the antibacterial effects of immunoglobulin peptides and the antiviral attributes of glycomacropeptide. That's one of the peptides in whey, called GMP. Whey peptides offer superior protein metabolism because the disulfide bonds between the peptides are not damaged. Up to double the amount of protein is retained over common whole protein foods. Whey protein contains reliable amounts of L-cysteine, which acts as a precursor to glutathione, one of the body's most powerful antioxidants. Whey peptides also reduce muscle soreness and pain due to the opioid-like effects of its quadripeptides. In terms of losing body fat, whey peptides stimulate the release of glucagon, which increases lipolysis and aids in the oxidation of fatty acids. They also stimulate the release of CCK, otherwise known as cholecystokinin, which acts to modify the appetite. Whey peptides raise metabolic rate through dietary-induced thermogenesis, and of course, this is important to those who need the stimulation to prevent the accumulation of unwanted adipose tissue, otherwise known as fat. In relation to muscle building and strength training, whey protein stimulates the production and activity of somatomedins, also known as insulin growth factors. IGF-1 in particular is a strong activator of muscle and is definitely linked to tissue remodeling after training and recovery from intense workouts. Now, when is the best time to take the whey? As a stacking agent, virtually any time throughout the day as a snack or an addition to a meal to improve or raise protein intake, or both. Whey protein can be mixed in blender smoothies, frozen yogurt, sugar-free ice cream, oatmeal, applesauce, or plain yogurt. As a 5-minute on-the-run complete breakfast, blend whey protein isolate in fresh juice or water, add a couple of tablespoons of a good quality omega-3 rich oil, add fresh or frozen organic fruit, a green supplement, some vitamin C powder, and voila, it's time to shake and take. Of course, the best time to take whey protein is 1 to 2 hours before each workout and immediately after workouts. Colgan refers to this practice as bracketing. I call it my workout sandwich. And of course, what's inside the sandwich, meaning the workout, is what counts. But the layers around it are also important. This is one of the most important principles for building lean muscle and staying lean for life, the pre and the post workout. Get into it and live it. In a study published by the American Journal of Physiology, Endocrinology, and Metabolism, subjects consumed a protein carbohydrate solution just before their workout versus just after it. And the response of net muscle protein balance was greater when the drink was consumed before training. Ingestion of protein prior to exercise increases arterial amino acid concentration better than when taken after it because of the increased blood flow to muscles in motion. So pre and post, they're both important. Don't miss either one. Another good time for a protein shake is between regular solid meals, such as between lunch and dinner or between breakfast and lunch. This practice takes the edge off. It keeps insulin and glucose within acceptable parameters, maintains a positive nitrogen balance, and prevents overeating at dinner. 2 to 3 helpings of rice, potatoes, or pasta, even whole food carbohydrates, every night. If you consume too much, it leads to intra-abdominal obesity, insulin resistance, and craving syndromes for more carbs later on. Another great time is before bed to keep your anabolic drive alive or to stave off nighttime eating syndromes. If you overeat at night and crave carbohydrates such as cookies and chocolate, force yourself to drink a protein shake first as a snack, and I guarantee you'll eat less. My therapy is basically make a meal starch-free for dinner, clean up the mess after you're all done eating, don't sit down and watch TV, but get your ass out and go for a walk and enjoy some therapy, talk to your mate, your lover, your kids, look at some nature, get some thought process going on. But move your body. When you come back to your home, you'll be in a different state. Your mind will be in a different state than when you left, and your desire to overeat or eat sweets will be gone. Then you have, later on, a protein shake, and look forward to that, and then if you still want to eat something, I guarantee you're going to eat less and more of the good stuff. So I have found that to be very effective for many of my clients, and it's what I do myself, because, hey, I'm an endomorph, and we all like to eat. Beef up bread, muffin, cookie, pancake, and cake mixes by adding whey protein. This will reduce the quantity of carbs consumed and provide a sense of stability and satisfaction. Mix whey protein in water and drink before a low protein or regular meal to increase protein quality and overall combined protein value. Next on our list is how much do you take? Calculate your total protein daily requirements based on lean mass and use at least 40 to 60% of that amount in the form of whey protein isolate. Depending upon body weight, lean mass, activity level, time of application, and individual metabolic rate, between 1 to 3 scoops, that's 25 to 75 grams per individual serving, is what I would recommend. Refer to the daily protein requirements chart displayed on the articles link at coreyhawley.com for dosage guidelines and easy reference based on lean body mass. Basically, there are 4 classes. The first one is sedentary, 1 gram per kilogram of lean mass. The second one is aerobic activity only, 1.5 grams per kilogram of lean mass. The third class is aerobic and anaerobic. That means you run and weight train. 1.5 to 2 grams, usually 2 grams per kilogram of lean mass. And finally, the anaerobic, the ecto, the heavy training, the hard intense workouts, the Ironman triathlete, 3 grams per kilogram of lean mass. Don't be afraid to leave home without adequate amounts of protein. You won't regret it. Now, are there any side effects of using whey protein? Generally speaking, the tolerance in terms of amount is greater for men than women, active people over inactive, and post-workout over any other time. It's possible to have lactose intolerance, which causes diarrhea, gas, or bloating, although this side effect is unusual, even for ethnic groups who cannot tolerate dairy. There's a pulse test that I use to help verify suspected intolerance to whey. Fast overnight for 14 hours. In the morning after you are up and ready to go, sit down for about 5 to 10 minutes, relax, and then take your resting pulse rate. Next, add a single serving of whey to a glass of filtered clean water. Stir quickly and drink. Check your pulse rate every 10 minutes for 30 minutes and see if it goes up. Suspect problems if your pulse rate increases by more than 8 to 10 beats per minute. In addition, pay attention to any gastrointestinal evidence of intolerance. Check the label for carbohydrate content. The only carbohydrate naturally present in whey protein is lactose, although fructose and sucrose, which should never be combined with whey, may be added as sweetening agents. Artificial sweeteners have no caloric value, but some people are hypersensitive to them. Keep this in mind. And if possible, get an unflavored, unsweetened whey protein isolate. Try that. That's pretty clean. Most people have no problems with that. Add your own natural sweetener like honey or maple syrup or molasses. Adding a concentrated source of protein to the diet may cause possible acidosis due to nitrogenous waste production in the absence of sufficient water, alkaline foods, or alkaline minerals such as calcium, potassium, zinc, and magnesium. A good whey isolate should be alkaline forming to the tune of about 7.2 or 7.6 on the pH scale. Although unlikely, adding whey could elevate homocysteine, which is a risk factor in cardiovascular disease, but this is based on the absence or insufficient dietary intake of B6, B12, and folic acid. Here's where the shake intake comes in, and here's where vitamin intake is very important. The whey itself is not a problem. It's usually you lack water, you're dehydrated, or you're too acidic to begin with, and you add the whey in, and then you get into problems. Change the overall scenario. For everyone, the overall quantity of protein from all sources must be considered. Avoid excessive amounts at one time and use in relation to your biological demand. A typical one-serving dose of whey protein isolate provides about 20 to 25 grams of protein, or about the same amount of protein in a standard serving of chicken breast or fish. As a rule, the concept of clean, high-quality protein being hard on the kidneys and liver in healthy, active individuals is fictitious, a concept blown way out of proportion by media and kept alive by conventional medicine. Here's where the Costanza principle definitely applies. Huge differences in effect exist between heat-damaged, dry, high-fat, commercial tissue protein and whey protein isolate. Let's compare apples to apples. This is something that was not done in the popular book called The China Study, which correlates protein consumption with heart disease and cancer. Typically, the study did not differentiate between the quality of all proteins consumed. Like, they didn't look at data based on Native American Indians who consumed buffalo as a staple without any adverse effects, or fishermen throughout the world who have a huge intake of protein from fish and have absolutely no adverse effects. It's when you get into the damaged, denatured, dehydrated proteins common in North America and put those into bodies that are not well, that are sick, that are consuming huge quantities of sugar, refined flour, and are inactive. That is when you get into the problems. So protein is good. And I strongly suggest that you get into using whey protein as a staple and make sure it's a whey protein isolate, not a concentrate, and make sure that it's as clean as you can possibly find. This brings this series on the Big Four to a conclusion. The Big Four, again, are whey protein isolate, creatine monohydrate, HMB, and L-glutamine. Great products to live by that are individually strong, but when you combine them together, they become synergistically all-powerful. Next month, I'm going to begin a new series that details the technique and influence of the three most basic and my favorite compound movements in the gym, specifically the squat, the deadlift, and the bench press. These three exercises are crucial to understand and perform correctly if building a foundation of strength and power is your objective, or if you are a fitness coach, teacher, instructor, or personal trainer. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening, and here's a quote from Helen Keller. Security is mostly a superstition. It does not exist in nature, nor do the children of men as a whole experience it. Avoiding danger is no safer in the long run than outright exposure. Life is either a daring adventure or nothing.